It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 586. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, and also MikeNationNet. You can check out the wiki at mtswiki.com. Have lots to talk about. First, tips on international travel, especially Canada. So I'm going to be leaving Monday morning for the unconvention in Toronto, which is the following weekend, and I learned a lot that I'm going to share. We have some more Windows 10 tips and some emails. We're going to get to more email in tonight's show. Before we get started, if you need reliable, good remote access for your clients, where you can either have them go to a landing page and download the client where you can connect one time, one off, or set up unattended access, the answer is Instant House Call. You can use D7's auto repair as part of Instant House Call, so you can remote in and clean and fix a computer. There are so many features. One thing I was able to do, for some reason, Instant House Call stopped on a client machine this week, but other machines in the office, it was on. I remoted in and I wasn't sure if the computer was on or not, but the computer was on, but for some reason they closed or exited out of the unattended Instant House Call. So I remoted into the one client and seeing that it was on the network, the real workstation I wanted to access, since it was up, I opened up the services in Control Panel, Administrative Tools, and then instead of the local services, I don't know if you realize you can click and actually connect to another computer. So I connect it to that computer and started the Instant House Call service remotely from another machine on the network. Then I was able to remote into that machine and take care of what I had to take care of for that night. You can get Instant House Call and try it free for 15 days by going to their website at instanthousecall.com or click on the link on the ad on the left-hand side of miketechshow.com. Remember to use the promo code MikeTechShow when you download the free 15-day trial, and you will absolutely love it. Let's start out what I've learned on my first visit to Canada in preparing for this trip with my family. Now, I have three sons and my wife going. We're traveling two separate cars. Obviously, when you're going to another country, you got to have your passports. We all have our passports, no problem. Now, what about your phone? Now, I have the AT&T family share plan with five phones on the plan. Wait until you hear how terrible the international packages are for AT&T. There are three choices that AT&T has if you're going to Canada. And this applies to actually a lot of other countries with AT&T. You have what they call Passport. It's a one-time charge for 30 days. All of these are one-time charges for 30 days, or you can have it reoccurring for every month. The Passport is $40. The Passport Silver is $60, and Passport Gold is $120. They all have unlimited texting. But here's the kicker. The $40 plan, if I pay an extra $40, now remember, this is over the $350 I'm paying every month for these five phones. It's a dollar per minute. That's insane. In 2016, to charge that much money per minute it's criminal. The Passport Silver, it lowers to 50 cents. And the Passport Gold, which what I purchased for $120, it's still 35 cents a minute. The cellular data, for the $40, you only get 200 meg. That's nothing. And you get charged 25 cents for every megabyte over. The silver, you get 300 meg, and you're charged 20 cents for everything over. And the gold, you get a whopping 800 meg. Can you imagine? You don't even get a gig. 800 meg, and you're charged 15 cents for every meg over. It's outrageous. And the fees that I have to now pay, but I'm making my kids obviously pay for theirs. So that helps. So my wife and my kids, they're all going to get the $40 plan so we can at least text each other unlimited. But these are things to consider when you're traveling international. Second, now Canada has the same power options as the United States, so that's good. So you don't need any power adapters for your electronic equipment. But you definitely have to check whatever country you're going to, you have to check what adapters are you going to need for your electronic gear, cell phone chargers, laptops, iPads, iPhones, whatever you're traveling with. The next item, am I going to be able to use my credit card? You have to call your bank and check out two things. One, notify them that you are traveling out of the country so it's not tagged as a fraudulent charge and they may block your charges. So I called my bank. I have Chase for my main credit card, and I'm lucky that there's no foreign exchange fees for doing the exchange from U.S. currency to Canadian and vice versa. A lot of banks charge a percentage and a fee for that. So you have to look into that. So you got to notify the bank to let them know that you're traveling. And then you got to know, you find out, hey, what's the fee situation? We're going to get back to fees in a minute. Car insurance. You're like, wait, you have car insurance. If you are driving your car from the United States into Canada, I learned something today that just blew me away. You have to call your insurance company and get a special card for Canada that proves you are an insured driver and can drive in Canada. That is correct. You have to have that card. I have an insurance carrier, and then my son Ryan, who's driving, has a different one. Luckily, my agent is dropping off my cards for my wife and I tomorrow. Ryan's, they're overnighting it to him. I just learned this today. Next, what if you're traveling, you're worried about medical coverage and you're worried about insurance? One of the links that I'm going to have in the show notes for tonight is a link for Manual Life Cover Me for Canada. And it's when you're traveling to Canada from the U.S. or if you're a Canadian citizen traveling to other countries, and it's very inexpensive. And just in case, I'm going to be there a week, and I'm just so paranoid about anything. $100,000 of coverage with only a $75 deductible was only $32 for the week. Small pittance to pay just in case, God forbid, something terrible happens or I get sick or, you know, have to go to a hospital or something happens. It's better to be covered than not covered. Something to consider. Let's get back to the fees. This is from Corey, who owns Instant House Call, who's the person responsible for the Unconvention 2016. I'm going to just read a little bit of some of the things that Corey helped me out with today. You can withdraw cash from any ATM and your bank will use whatever its exchange rate is. If you bring U.S. cash, you can exchange it at any bank. The bank will add an additional 3 to 5% markup to that. So beware, there's a good site on all of the current exchange rates, and I'm going to have that in the show notes tonight. and that's xe.com. There you can check exchange rates for whichever country you're going to and from. You can use U.S. cash pretty much everywhere, but they'll really hit you hard on the exchange rates. They're not going to be fair. So the merchants kind of make additional money. Visa and MasterCard are accepted everywhere. Amex, not so much. And nobody takes Discover. Some U.S. credit cards add a 3% foreign transaction fee that's on top of the exchange, which they'll also mark up an additional 3 to 5%. There's no such thing as a Visa or MasterCard debit card in Canada. So if you have a debit card, not sure how that's going to react up there. I have a debit card that can be used as a credit card for merchants. So that may work. So that's going to be an interesting challenge. Here's the part that I'm not sure. All cards in Canada use the chip and PIN. And that's new for the U.S. because I've never had to enter a PIN, but only some merchants that I go to, the chip in my card works, but I don't have to enter a PIN. So for the point of sale terminals require that you use a chip and PIN first. And that's going to be interesting. So I got to now call my banks again and say, what's my PIN on a credit card? Because I don't have a PIN for the credit card, but it's something to consider before you travel. Given all of these things, add them to your list in your preparation for traveling to another country. So anybody who's joining me, hopefully at the Unconvention next week, I can't wait to meet with you next week. Keep in mind all these things, and hopefully you've already prepped for it. This is special additional content added to the podcast recorded on Friday night. This is an update to AT&T phone coverage while traveling to Canada if you're in the U.S. Thanks to Michael Cooley, who's Taz Cools in the chat, the moderator, good friend. Michael was able to obtain the AT&T Canada roaming bonus. That's what it's called, for zero cost. While you're in Canada, you can enjoy unlimited talk, text, and 1 gig of data. Data overage packs are applied automatically at $20 per gig over the first gig. This plan is not available on your mobile app. It's not available online. You have to call and beg. It took us an hour and a half on a conference call with Michael and I talking to AT&T. AT&T customer support didn't know how to add this. They brought up Michael's account and they didn't know how that got added. Michael was very lucky in getting that added, and we didn't know how to add it. So they brought in the international support. That person couldn't do it, but then discovered that if we bring retention in, they might be able to do it. And Lee from Retention was able to add this to all of my phones. So you have to fight for this and you have to call, but it's worth it. Michael saved me hundreds and hundreds of dollars in fees for roaming charges and those passport plans. Now, this is only for Canada. So you need to call and fight for the AT&T Canada roaming bonus. Big, big thank you to Michael Cooley. I owe him a great dinner and beverages up in Canada when we meet next week. Every Windows 10 install brings something new. I learn something on almost every install. Now, there's a client that had 15 laptops, and we did 13 of them a couple weeks ago, but there were two holdouts where we couldn't get to those laptops because they were traveling and whatever. So we get the two laptops a couple nights ago, and I put on Facebook the solution to this problem. We ran all the Windows 7 updates. Good, we're home free. We copy the Windows 10 ISO, the contents, into a directory on the hard drive. We launch it, and it sits and is stuck on checking updates. It goes past the first screen, then it's just spinning and checking. The one system was stuck at 3%, the other system stuck at 11%, and we waited over an hour, and that's way too long. If you're only a few minutes, something's wrong. I was Googling, and I came across this, and the link is in the show notes, and if you follow me on Facebook, you've already seen this solution. It is unbelievable, and it's easy. When it's stuck during the Windows 10 install, the setup, and it's stuck on checking for updates, you can go to Control Panel, Administrative Tools, Services, or just hit the Windows R command, and the prompt box will come up, and you type services.msc. Now, you stop the Windows Update service. Then you go to C Windows Software Distribution Directory, and all of the contents in that directory, you delete. Delete it all. Then restart the service, and you do this while the Windows 10 setup is still running. And like magic, it just kept, it continued and went on and finished. The install went perfectly. Went to the other computer, did it on that system, and it worked perfectly. Now, it got to 88%, and it hung again. I said, you know, I have nothing to lose here, because we were waiting, and it was stuck at 88%. The other one just was flying, went to 100%, and then started the Windows 10 install. So it got stuck again. I did the same thing. The window was still up. I stopped the service. I deleted the directory, all the contents of that directory, and started the service, and it went to 100%. It finished, and it went. So you keep doing it until Windows 10 setup continues. For the 100 machines that I've done the Windows 10 updates to see something new in the install process and a different solution just boggles the mind. I cannot believe just how many things I've had to deploy and come up with to get Windows 10 to install properly. It's amazing the nightmare we went through with the Windows 7 updates to finally have a process down that consistently works by doing that update agent while the network cable's unplugged and then going to WSUS offline with the network cable unplugged finishes all the Windows 7 updates. I often wonder, and you hear me mention this all the time in all the shows that I do, how does the typical PC user have a prayer in doing this when I consider myself an expert and I keep running into new challenges? It's amazing. Hopefully this helps somebody with making the process a little bit easier when you're doing the Windows 10 install and update. And remember, I still have two systems that I may not get to this weekend. I hope I can. If not, when I get back from the convention, the unconvention, I only got a couple days. You only have till the 29th to take advantage of the free update. And remember, even if you despise Windows 10 and you want absolutely nothing to do with it, you should still go through the upgrade. Then revert back to your old operating system. And now you've digitally reserved your license for Windows 10 forever for that computer. So if down the road you ever make that decision that you are going to go to Windows 10, at least you don't have to pay the money for it. And you can take advantage of it for free. That's my advice, as long as all of your equipment that you vet it, all your software, again, as long as you can go back, reserve the license, and then you can deal with all the things that don't work. Let's get to some email here. Windows 10 stuck on updating fix. The solution for me was to stop and restart the update services from a command prompt run as administrator. Once I did this, the update percentage started moving, and Windows 10 was able to update the PC. And that's at an admin command prompt, net stop WUAUSERV. So you stop it, then start it. Net start with the same service. May have to do it more than once if it stops again, which I found out. I found the second step was often not needed. It restarted itself. Bill, thank you for weighing in on that. This is from Robert. I always feel good when I have an email like this from a listener. Windows 7 update issue solved. Hi, Mike. I just wanted to say thank you so much for helping me solve the Windows 7 update issues that I was having on new installs of Windows 7. I downloaded the update client. In this case, the network driver was not installed, so I wasn't connected to a network. Ran the update client, let it install, and after a reboot, then I used 3DPNet to install the network driver, and boom, Windows Update started working. I also tried this on one that was stuck on updating Windows. Disconnected the laptop from the network, ran the update client, and after a rebooted, reconnected to the network, and Windows Update started working. Mike, I can't thank you enough for all that you do. You and Carrie have been great, great show. It won't be long until you reach 600. Seems like yesterday you and Carrie did show 500. Have a great week, Robert. Robert, thank you so much. I'm glad that these tips are helping. This is from Jason. Hey, Mike, you said having problems installing Windows 10 on one machine and getting some errors, we ran into the same weird thing on the sheets we are upgrading and updated the BIOS. And it was no problem. So that may be something you should give a try. Update the BIOS. That's actually a pretty good idea. That might have helped me. It's interesting how I found other solutions, but it can't hurt to see how old the BIOS is for the system that you're working on and then check out if you can download and apply an updated BIOS. Windows woes. This is from Greg. In your podcast, 584, you spoke about doing 40 upgrade installs of Windows 10, probably more than that. I have actually done, in the last couple months, about 23 rollbacks for customers who have either had forced upgrades, problems with software, Wi-Fi connection issues, driver issues, security concerns, etc., because they simply didn't like Windows 10. I've even had a couple of customers that have now ditched Windows altogether because of the forced upgrades and are now happily using Linux Mint. I have also had four computers, two desktops, two laptops, that were totally trashed by the forced upgrade requiring reformatting. I've only ran into one so far. I've been very lucky. It's been one laptop that the upgrade, not only did the upgrade mess, like totally trashed the system, but we couldn't go back to the old version. I had to take the hard drive out, get all the data off, and then redo Windows 7 from scratch. And we just love doing Windows 7 from scratch. That's so much fun. I will say this. Last week, I've had to do a couple Windows 10 clean installs. And that is so much easier. Fast. You have an SSD, and you're booting from a Windows 10 install ISO on a USB. It is very, very fast and clean. Let me continue here. I have only done one upgrade to Windows 10, which was rolled back anyway after only 13 days. It seems that Microsoft, they don't care if it breaks your computer as long as they can force it on you. There are a growing number of people here who are very angry at Microsoft for doing this, and also angry for having to pay for repairs that they shouldn't have had to do. I support a couple of small businesses that are currently talking to their solicitors seeking compensation from Microsoft for lost business through downtime. And you absolutely should, because look at the award already where Microsoft awarded $10,000 to that one person. I am also running Steve Gibson's Never 10 on a growing list of Windows 7 and 8.1 machines. The people who own these computers now have a resentment for Microsoft that they didn't have before. They will never upgrade to Windows 10. Some of the machines had GWX control panel, but the Windows 10 upgrade still occurred. Now, I've never had that happen. so far. Is anyone else having these experiences? Thanks for your time. Cheers. Absolutely, Greg. I have, and I've talked about it, I have several clients or friends of clients, I should say. If you were a retainer client of mine, a year ago, we already had the Windows 10 discussion. I was ready to either block Windows 10 or we were going to embrace it and go forward after some due diligence with testing. So if you were a full-time client of mine where you're on retainer, you didn't have this issue. But there's a lot of people who I've helped that are not on retainer that I just couldn't reach out to everybody who woke up one day to Windows 10 or they couldn't stop it. Some of them had problems. Anybody that had a problem, we rolled back. Anyone that had a problem they could live with or we could solve quickly, I encouraged them to embrace it and move forward if they could. And some did. Some tried and just said, Mike, take it back. And we went back. And there's been plenty of them. Yes, there's been many. And the reason why the rush right now is we finally finished testing on a lot of my clients where one had 15 seats, the other one 20 computers, another one 10 and a couple fives. Well, my son and I have been rushing around doing the Windows 10 updates because we finally get all of the testing results resolved, everything that needed to be resolved from a software or a driver issue. We had to upgrade QuickBooks, upgrade another program. If we were able to successfully upgrade everything and get it to work properly on our kind of beta Windows 10 system for the office, then we got to go for all of them so they could at least save the $200 for Windows 10. Because remember, all of my systems, they're all Windows 10 Pro. If they're a small business, I won't allow the home operating system in a small business if I can influence that. They upgraded to Windows 10 Pro. That's going to cost $199 after July 29th. So if you got 20 systems at $200 a pop, that's a lot of money because eventually you may want to upgrade. I know Windows 7 is still going to be good for the next 4 years. That's fine. And you know what? For the life of the hardware, mostly, that's probably good for a lot of clients. They could stay Windows 7 till the system dies, and then when they go buy a new system, they'll get it with Windows 10. Hopefully, their software by then will work. I still have clients that the vertical market software, whether it be title insurance software or legal billing and case management software, that does not support or work with Windows 10. The dental software that for the dental offices will not work with Windows 10. At some point, they're going to have to because Windows 10 will come off support. There'll be no security updates eventually. And just to be compliant, whether it be FINRA or HIPAA or whatever compliance, the software is going to have, you're going to have to embrace the Windows 10. Whether they like it or not, the software manufacturers are going to have to update their software to work with Windows 10. It's here. There's nothing we can do about it. And you embrace it. So there's two ways of looking at this. Yes, Microsoft, big, bad, evil, and all of that. But in our line of work, in our business, that's the gift that keeps on giving. I'm looking at all of this extra work that I would have never had if it wasn't for Windows 10. And I'm glad I can be there to help support all my clients and anybody that needs my help and my consulting services. Glad to help them. There's good and bad. Next email from Alan. Media creation tool UEFI boot. And I've never talked about this. I realize most of your viewers on the Mike Tech Show are techs, but I think you kind of glossed over the use of the Win10 install from bootable USB MCT for any novices who were watching. You download the media creation tool ISO to a convenient folder on C. Really doesn't matter where. Copy the contents to a USB 2 stick. Reboot and set the BIOS to UEFI to boot from the removable device. Thanks, Mike. Tales from the trenches, attitudes of clients, tricks and tips are always fascinating. Alan in Cincinnati, thank you. Austin, hi, Mike. The roll-up fails to install. This is the Windows 7 roll-up. It fails to install if you don't install the servicing stack update first. You can download the servicing stack update from this link. And this is Knowledge Base article 3020369. I'm currently slipstreaming the update into a WIM file as I write and test it tomorrow, and we'll get back to you. Austin, thank you very much, and I will have that link in the show notes. Last email. This is a while ago from Bradley, and I got back to him right away on this. I want to get some 3 terabyte hard drives. The computer they are going in basically for file storage. They will be configured in a RAID. What do you recommend? Bradley, when it comes to the drives, I'm going to give you my stance here. For mechanical drives, if it's for file storage, backup, or RAID, if you're in a business, get the Red NAS, the Western Digital Red Pro, the Red NAS Pro drives. Get the regular Red NAS drives if it's a home system or a very small office. So those are the drives I put in small Synology units. The best drive, mechanical drive, for a computer is the Western Digital Black Caviar. The Western Digital Black are the better drives. To me, the blue and the green do not exist. The green are horrible. The blue fail, I believe, I'm at like a 98% failure rate. Every failed drive that I ever ran into is a Western Digital blue drive. They should just stop making them. The purple are optimized for video surveillance systems. If at all possible, deploy a solid state drive. That is the best thing you can do for performance. It is the best upgrade that you can do to your computer. Solid state drive. That is the way to go. The black and red are really what you choose from, depending on what you're going to do. And if you're going to have RAID or you're going to be optimized for backup or for any kind of NAS, it's the red. If it's an everyday use storage in a system, black. But I'll tell you what, the prices have come down. Well, you know, I take that back. I was going to say prices are dropping on solid state drives. I have been buying so many. The prices are actually up. Prices are going up, up, up. I'm noticing every time I'm buying, the prices are creeping up on solid state drives. So beware, they're going up. I want to thank everybody for using my Amazon link for supporting the show. If you buy anything from Amazon, know anybody buying from Amazon, use my link, amazon.micnation.net. Your price stays the same, but a small commission comes back to help support the show. And I really, really appreciate it. Thank you so, so very much. If you need a website for your tech repair business, check out the great techsitebuilder.com for helping you automate and build that website. Fabs Auto Backup 6 Pro saved me again yesterday on that system that I was doing the Windows 10 from scratch. They had Windows 7. A long story as to why I had to do it from scratch. After the upgrade, we decided to go from scratch because they had other issues with the system. I used the Fabs transfer feature. I took their existing Windows 7 disk, put it in an external enclosure via USB. So we go SATA to USB. I now installed Windows 10. Now I launch Fabs Auto Backup 6 and just did a transfer and then cherry picked which one files and settings I wanted to transfer. Piece of cake. That install went perfectly. That link will be in the show notes. And of course, the Computer Business Kit version 3 by Bryce, from who runs TechNibble, which is a tremendous website. And the Computer Business Kit is a collection of all the forms and everything you need in starting your computer business, your consulting business, anything related to IT and the business. That's the kit. That's where you begin. And of course, we thank Instant House Call for being a sponsor of the show. There's no show next week because I'm going to be in Canada and I'm speaking at the 2016 Unconvention in Toronto. I will report back on all of that the following week. That's it. Have a great 2 weeks, everybody. And I'll see you here, same time, same channel. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.